Hey, welcome to Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Bob King joins us on the phone. He's an author, educator, and amateur astronomer, and a heck of a good photographer, too. Good morning, Mr. Bob King.
Well, good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me back.
We need a theme song for you. Maybe something out of David Bowie's, like a Ziggy Stardust thing, maybe.
Yeah.
So why don't you work on that for next time?
All right. Sounds good.
Either pick one or write one.
Well, I'd love to be a musician, but maybe I have time for that now. But anyway, you know, that forecast you were describing sounds pretty grim, but I always still encourage people to go out and look at the sky just in case, because sometimes, even when it's predicted to be cloudy, as it was last night, we get a clearing. And that moon, which was still pretty close to full, was just gorgeous last night and still near the planet Jupiter. Were you out? Did you get to see it?
No. I go to bed early. I'm so lame.
Well,
I miss all the good stuff.
All right, it is difficult in the summer because of the late sunset time.
Right.
And because we live fairly north, our twilights this time of year last about 2.5 hours, actually. So when the sun sets at 9, it doesn't really start getting dark until after 11 o'clock.
And there'll be no 11 o'clock for me on a school night.
Well, I know. I would do it anyway.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, all right.
And I do have something fun to
bring up. And you can, a person can always set a timer. I mean, if you have a black belt in sleep, you can always set a timer, look at the cool thing, you know, get up, look at the cool thing, and then go back to bed.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do sometimes.
All right.
I know some of your listeners probably saw Jupiter next to the moon, not last night, but two nights ago. They rose together in the sky, the full moon and the planet Jupiter. Tonight, though, the moon, which is a waning gibbous now since it's a couple of days past full, tonight the moon will rise right next to Saturn, even closer than it was to Jupiter the other night. So you'll see the moon, and I'm afraid you'll have to be up at around 11 o'clock to see this, because that's about the time you can start to see the moon poking up in the southeastern sky. But you'll see the moon, and then right above it, a bright star this evening, and that's the planet Saturn.
Now, if you have binoculars, I'm talking binoculars, not a telescope. If you have binoculars,
right,
would you be able to see Saturn well enough to see the rings?
No.
Okay, so you got
you
it. So
see, you can look at Saturn in a pair of 10-power binoculars. If you focus them very sharply, you can see that Saturn is oblong. You know, it does not look like a dot. And that's a hint that you're seeing the rings, because that's what's giving it that shape.
Okay.
But you can't distinguish the rings from the planet unless you have a small telescope.
Without a telescope of some kind.
Yeah, you could do it with a spotting scope. You need about 30-power magnification. So if you had a spotting scope and you trained it and you carefully focused and you racked it up to 30 or 40 power, you'd see a tiny little ball with a ring around it.
What kind of a... Could you see it with a good camera zoom lens, or are your binoculars? I've never tried to compare. See, this is a question, of course, I should ask you or ask Laura Erickson, who is really familiar with looking through binoculars and spotting scopes and those nice optics for birds,
right,
but also looking through camera lenses.
Well, the key is to remember that you need about 30 power minimum. So you need a 30-power pair of binoculars. And there may be 30-power binoculars, but I'm not aware of any. I think they usually dial up to about 20. So, no, you would not be able to see the ring with the majority of binoculars. And it's far better in a telescope anyway. When you get up to those magnifications, hand-holding a pair of binoculars or just the awkwardness of a tripod, a telescope is easy. And, by the way, a telescope will probably cost you less than that pair of binoculars. So I always say that if there's one reason to get a telescope, it is to look at Saturn. Well, there's three reasons.
Saturn, <All right.
laughs> Saturn, Jupiter, and the moon.
Okay.
Because you don't need to spend more than $150 tops to be able to really enjoy a look at those three brightest objects, along with Venus, too. You don't see much of Venus, but you do see its phase. So there are several really nice objects at any time for a small scope.
So that's a perfect opportunity to, you know, if that's kind of your guideline, you can go to your favorite local store or your favorite online venue.
Probably
and
online.
Say, all right, this is about what I'm going to spend. And I don't know, read the customer reviews, however people make those decisions. And say to yourself, I'm going to invest this much in it because I bet you'd get your money's worth. Are you one of those people that has a telescope set up in like your living room or your, you know, office or wherever, and the telescope is just always there?
You mean like a trophy telescope that nobody uses?
No,
no.
But you see,
it's like a spotting scope. No, if I lived right along the lake or something, I would.
Okay.
But where I live, the only thing I'd be able to look at are trees.
Okay, or your neighbors, and that's creepy.
Or the neighbor. You would never want to use a telescope and look through glass at any astronomical
object. Okay. So if somebody's got a telescope set up in their living room on a tripod,
no,
you walk in and you kind of, you know, shoot your shirt cuffs and you go, you know, real.
No,
real astronomers don't look through glass.
It's just that if they want to use it to look at the sky at night,
right,
then they'll have to take it out and maybe brave a few mosquitoes, but or cold temperatures. But yeah, looking through glass is never a good idea because when you magnify all the distortions that glass will put between your eye and the astronomical object. So yeah, just easy enough. Just get a small scope. And I'll make one quick recommendation. If people just want to sort of browse and see what's out there, they can type in telescope.com.
Oh, all
right. Pretty easy. It'll take you to a place called Orion Telescopes, another easy-to-remember name. And you can browse through there. And if you're just starting for looking at the sky, I'd recommend something like a 4.5 or 4.5-inch reflecting telescope. Inexpensive, easy to use. It's called a 4.5-inch Dobsonian reflector. Dobsonian just refers to the mount for the telescope, which was invented by a guy named John Dobson. And you can get away for, I don't know, maybe 180. I haven't looked lately, but they're not expensive. And some are smaller yet, so there's lots to look at there.
Especially if you're one of those folks that's, you know, as so many of our listeners are, that are blessed to live out in the country so that they can be looking up at the sky. Or maybe you want to take your little telescope and you want to put it in the camper or with your camping stuff.
Great idea.
So that when you're out there in the middle of the night and the stars are so close, you can check it out.
Yeah, you can bring that out. And even in the city, at the very least, in the city, you can use any telescope to look at those bright objects that I mentioned before, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars when it's bright, Venus, and the moon. Tougher to look at some other things like galaxies and stuff. You will need to be in the country, like you say. Before, I wanted to be sure to mention one other thing happening this week. Besides that conjunction this evening of Saturn and the moon, it will be the first day of summer on June 21st at 10:54 a.m.
Uh-huh.
That, you don't sound too enthusiastic.
I'm still waiting for spring.
Oh, that's right. I love cool summers. So
I'm
no problem.
I'm so, so sad. I'm so cosmically sad. But we don't need to go there. This is a cheerful radio program. We do need to go there. Maybe the universe will suddenly go, okay, west winds, woo, and then we'll actually get some warm and stuff. But
well, it'll happen. You know how June is in Duluth and around the lake here. It can be pretty tough at times. But that's when the sun is at the highest point in the sky, and that happens on the 21st in the morning, just before 11 a.m., go out there and experience the summer solstice. Maybe get a bonfire going somewhere that evening. Make s'mores and marshmallows. You'll probably need the fire, right? Because it's not.
Well, Thursday it's going to be. Yeah, Thursday's going to be. We're back to the by Thursday. Tomorrow we get a little sun, and then by Thursday we're back to the clouds and rain. So maybe if you want to go out and enjoy the first moment of summer there, you can have your bonfire at 11 a.m.
Whatever works for you. That
just a
great
thought. Yeah. Well, that sounds like wonderful fun. And the next time we talk, I appreciate the opportunity, you know, the fact that, and we'll get some of these links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find if they are interested in pursuing the idea of telescopes. And then when we talk next time, maybe one of the other things we can talk about is how you can, now Laura Erickson did something really sneaky with a spotting scope and a little NyQuil measuring cap thing to make an adapter so she could photograph through her spotting scope.
I bet you're
really talented at how can you photograph through the telescope.
I just did last night, as a matter of fact. And you can make an adapter, but it's not necessary. It takes just a little bit of practice, and you just float your camera, that little point in your phone where the camera is in the upper left or right usually. You just put that spot right over the telescope eyepiece, and you move it until the moon fills the point of view, and it's just spectacular what you could do with a mobile phone and a telescope.
Wow.
I'll send you an image.
Why don't you do that?
And I even photographed Jupiter
through
my telescope last night.
And so we'll get that up so folks can take a look at that.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
Well, Bob, this is wonderful. I love, love, love having you along with us for the summer or the fall or whatever it is that we're having right now. But it's wonderful to have you. And
we'll talk
again in a couple of weeks.
All right, Lisa. Enjoy speaking with you, too. Bye now.
Bob King is our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Bob King's an author, educator, amateur astronomer, and photographer.